and attributed that God is good, for his mercy endure forever, forever and ever. And I'm just so grateful to be here with you all on this morning. I don't know any other place I'd rather be than be here with you. So I'm grateful to all of you all who have adjusted to how we are now coming on. Amen. Praise and worship is now exclusively on the Zoom. Amen. On our Zoom link, I posted that this morning on social media. Those who are just coming in via social media, amen. I ask that you hit the share button, share this with somebody. Those who are members of the Safe House Church already have our platform. Amen. I ask that you text that link to somebody, invite them to the Safe House Church. Amen. We did have to modify. We kept getting censored and they were cutting us off and all kinds of things. You know, when you don't own platforms and when you don't own things, then that means that owner can do whatever it is that they want to do with it. Amen. And we was always conscious of that. So we always had plan B. So don't get it twisted. You pastor had a plan. Amen. But, you know, we're doing our best to compel them to come and make the space as inclusive as possible, because we do not own the church. The church was established well over 2,000 years ago, but we just serve here what the various capacities that God has given to us, and we're just grateful for that which he has done. Amen. As we work in this space, I just want to say a good morning to all of you all. Good morning to all the members of the Safe House Church who serve so diligently here with me in the beautiful city of Greensboro, and some of you from afar. I'm just so grateful to all those who continually come to prayer. We have prayer every morning, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. And when you see the people of God in prayer like that in the morning, it just tells me that they're hungry. They're hungry for what God has wanted to do with us. And, you know, there's a period of time that I believe God has just been working with us, trying to prepare us for the space, trying to prepare us for the harvest, because I just believe that God is sending a great harvest our way. Amen. The Bible says, for the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, meaning that what they're few that are prepared, they're few that are able to walk, they're few that are in position to be able to receive the harvest that he wants to put upon us. Amen. And what we're doing is we're doing our best to be prepared to be able to receive that which he's put before us, that which he's called us to do, that which he's inspired us and put in our hearts to do. So I'm grateful for that. If this is your first time being with us here at the Safe House Church, I want to introduce you to the Safe House Church, where we work on three pillars of our faith that we believe God has called us to: discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship, meaning that we're going to work with you. We're going to lead you in this space. We don't expect you to know it all. Or matter of fact, we don't expect you to know anything. If you come with some things, great. But if you don't, it's okay, because this is a learning opportunity. We are always learning. We are lifelong learners here at the Safe House Church. So we walk in discipleship. Next, we walk in empowerment. We empower individuals. If God's giving you a gift and he's giving each one of us gifts and he's giving us anointings to do things, we work with individuals to empower them in the space God has given them. Amen. We want to see you grow. That I don't have a monopoly on God's spirit. I don't have a monopoly on his anointing. All I am is what? I am an administrator of his blessings. Amen. I'm an administrator of his people here on earth. And if he doesn't like the job I'm doing, he can fire me and get somebody else. Oh, come on, somebody. This is not a permanent job, but I get to serve at the will of him. So if he tells Elohim said I need to be moved out the way, then I will be moved out of the way. Then the last part of this is accountability. We believe in accountability here, that you can't just do any and everything you want to do because it feels good, because you want to, or just because, you know, you're stuck in that space. So we do believe, amen, in accountability. Hallelujah. Amen. So accountability is important in that space. So with that, those are the three things that we work off at the Safe House Church. We are typically located here in the beautiful city of Greensboro, but we've been working now a little bit over a year in this particular space. Also want to, our prayers and condolences still go out to the families who suffered some loss on this week. You know, we went to two funerals this week. Amen. I went to, I lost my advisor. Amen. And we went to that space, and just so grateful. You know, God sends people in your life sometime, and you never know how those people will affect you and how things work. And God just, you know, God can use anybody. Amen. He can use anybody. And I'm grateful for that. And then we went to the tremendous home gunner. This girl had my first lady home gunner, or a missionary home gunner. I mean, home going on yesterday over at Central Triad Church. Sister Lynn, who who's now transitioning, amen. When you know they're not lost when you know where they're gone, but just to see the impact. This young lady only lived 32 years, and the impact that she had, church was full of people, amen. She had, I think it was like a three or four hour funeral, amen. That was, you know, they broadcast it live on Facebook on YouTube, because the church was so full they couldn't take anybody else, amen. And I was one of those ones who opted to be online. And I think it was another almost 2,000 people watched online. That's impact. That's influence. And just some of the stories. I mean, I knew the amazing woman that she already was. And here at the Safe House Church, I'm just glad that we had the opportunity to be a blessing to her. Oh, come on, somebody. Even when we first got started, you know, God had put her on our heart and the work that she was doing with those young ladies. And we were able to invest and bless her life and be a blessing to those young ladies. Do you not know that we are blessed to be a blessing? And that's one thing you'll find out about the Safe House Church, that we, what God gives us, we just don't hold in our hand with a clenched fist, but we have an open hand so that we are freely to give and freely to receive. So even when we was very small ministry, I don't even think we was a church 6 months, that we were able to bless her financially to be able to support those young ladies that she was helping, amen. So you never know, but you know, the impact she had was just phenomenal. And we're grateful of the impact that she's had and gone in that space. So we're just grateful that we were able to be a part of that. So this morning, this Sunday is known as Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, for those who don't know, Palm Sunday is the Sunday that's traditionally before the Easter holiday, or the what they would call the biblically from the Jewish point of view, the Passover, and the Passover festival and the Passover feast. And on Palm Sunday, this is the Sunday that Jesus came in on a colt. You know, the Bible tells us there was a colt that had been tied up and that was waiting just for him. This colt had never been ridden by anybody. It was just in place for him. How many of y'all know, some of you feel like, you know, that things that you're not being used, and you feel that sometimes things have passed you by? But how many of you know that sometimes God has just set you up just for him? So this colt, the Bible tells us, that had never been ridden, and it was sitting there waiting for Jesus and tied up, because he told him, he said, well, go. And there's a colt that's never been ridden by man that's sitting there that is tied up, and you ought to untie him and bring him. And he's what? That colt, even though he didn't do anything else, but he was able to what? Bring Jesus in on the Palm Sunday as they what? Laid palm tree limb leaves at his feet. So the Palm Sunday reference comes from the palm tree leaves that they had, that they were waving as he came into the city and yelling, Hosanna, 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 as he came in, not knowing that he was getting set up to be ready to go through the crucifixion and on the behalf of our sins. But he knew, but they didn't, you know. So God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. So without further ado this morning, I think we got all our announcements or things going up. Just do want to remind you real quickly of the, I guess I'm eating up my computer resources here. Things are really moving slow today, so hopefully we don't have no issues here on the computer. But nonetheless, we'll move on. Amen. Wanted to remind you of that we have every single Monday, the young ladies are getting together in a private space that we call the Women at the Well. The Women at the Well is a space that we, for the women, that they get there and it's just women talk. You know, women, you know, there's some, you know, biblical things that they're talking about. But there are also things that just talking about being, you know, being a woman and being a woman of God, and how you navigate this space and how you walk in this life. How many of you know that you cannot just walk this life alone? And in fact, that God has never intended for us to walk this alone, but he's intended us to walk this what? Together, reaching out to one another. Then we have the men's space that we call the locker room. The locker room is at on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Thursday nights at 9 p.m. So the women meet on Monday nights, which is just a women's only space, at 7. The men meet on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. And in between there, on Wednesday nights, we have this extraordinary Bible study that's led by yours truly. And at this Bible study right now, we are in the powerful, powerful book of Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. So we just started the book of Acts. We're still in the first chapter. So you have plenty of time to jump on. Bible study is only for 1 hour. We only have Bible study for 1 hour, so you don't have to worry about, oh, he's going to be long, this and that. Well, you know, like I said, in this space, you can just kind of leave and go as you want. So that's the nice thing of being in a virtual space. You can just kind of leave and go as you would please. Amen. But we do have the Bible study there on Wednesday night. All right. So without further ado, I'm just going to go into what I believe God has given me to share with you on today. Again, I want to say thank you to all those who support us, both financially, physically, and with your prayers. with your prayers. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Amen. Also got to speak with the father and brother Ezra, the baby Ezra that we've been praying for. Amen. That he's still hanging on in there. Amen. And we're going to continue to keep praying. I ask you all to continue to keep praying for him. This is the son of brother Travis and sister Jennifer Fulton. He was born as a preemie. Amen. And we just want to definitely keep them in prayer. Keep Sister Jennifer in prayer. Young ladies, you all reach out to your sister, check on her, make sure she's doing all right. Amen. You know, those who've had babies and been in this space, or if you've been had a preemie before, you know what to expect. Amen. Why? Because you lived it. I do believe that God allows us sometimes to experience things that we go through, not for us, but to be able to help somebody else. And if you've been through that space and God has delivered you, you already know what somebody else is going through. So do not hesitate. Be a blessing to somebody else. We're in this life, what? To be a blessing to somebody else. There's somebody who's prayed for you. There's somebody who had you on their mind. And now when the tables are turned, when you're at your lowest point, when you feel like all is lost, this is when somebody else should be able to reach out to you. For what? We are. Am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So I believe this morning I want to go into the scriptures with you on today. I want to talk to you from the point we've been March. Remember, we talked about this whole year. Our theme is 2021, reimagining God. What I mean by reimagining God, not that you're going to change God, but many of us came to God in one form or fashion. Many of us came to God in that some of us, you know, we came for healing, and then we learned them that way. Some of us came because we were mentally sick and we were stuck in stuff and we was all kinds. Some of us came out of fear. Some of us was feared into God. And now that we know better, I'm here to tell you today that there's more to God than just what that part is. So what we're looking at now is, how do I imagine God in another space? How do I know, if I don't know God as a healer, you know, do I know him as a healer? Do I know him as a deliverer? Do I know him as a provider? Do I know him in all his glory? So our job as believers is what? To continue to learn God and learn all parts of him, learn all facets of him, learn him in his glory. Are y'all with me this morning? So as part of that, we've been focusing this month, this year, throughout the whole year, there's a different part we've been focusing on. And this month, in the month of March, our focus has been on governmental structures. I believe that God has called believers for us to be in the governmental structures. How is it going to get any better if there are not people who are holding in there? How is it going to be any better if we don't have people now who have morals and have convictions and have integrity? How is it going to be any better? What, you can't get garbage in and expect not to get garbage out? Oh, come on, somebody. If you have people who are in the space who are immoral, people in the space who don't care about anybody, if you have people in the space who are only thinking about themselves, and then you wonder why you want to get self-serving laws when you only get self-serving things, then what are you to expect? They only can give you what they have. They only can give you who they are. They only can give you what they know. But for those of us who know, we've been sitting back far too long as believers, and God has put us in that space. So what do? We went on, we started out, and we talked about these different people that God has put in these different spaces. We talked about how God, earlier in the month, how God put Joseph in that space, and he put Joseph in there, and Joseph went in there, and Joseph changed some things, that God used him, that even when he could have gotten even with some people, oh, come on, somebody. I know there's some people who've done you wrong that you can get even with, but you know, because you serve a God, that it's not about you getting evil, it's about you serving. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? That it's not about you getting even, but it's about you serving. So you don't get even because you know that God gets the glory, that the vengeance belongs to him. Oh, yeah, I feel my anointing coming on. So then you don't walk in that space. But then we move right on to Moses, and we talked about Moses. Moses, probably one of the most famous characters out of the Bible, amen. And he wrote, you know, has Moses given credit for writing the Torah or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And Moses, we find that Moses had an extraordinary life because his life almost was over before it began. That Moses was found in the river. He was strategically placed in the river to be seen by Pharaoh's daughter and to be raised where? Raised inside of the governmental structure of Egypt. Oh, yeah. He was raised inside of the governmental structure of Egypt. So being raised right there in Egypt what does he do? He learns the Egyptian ways. He learns the Egyptian thought. He knows how they think. He knows how they talk. He knows how they walk. And better yet, he knows what? Their weakness. So then what? There comes a time that what? God allows some things to happen. Moses finds himself in sin and he kills a man and he gets called for that. And then what does he do? He does self-exile. See, he didn't realize the power he even had then. He could have killed the man and got away with it. He just had to tell him about it. But wait, he realized that he had killed this man, that it was not right. Because he knew that he was in Egypt, but he was not of Egypt. How many of you know that we are in this world, but we're not of this world? We're in this world, but not of this world. So he knew that he was in that Egyptian system, but he was not of the system. So therefore, he goes into self-exile, meets his wife. His wife is what? A woman, an Ethiopian woman, a woman of color. Oh, come on, somebody. And he marries her, and then he sees a bush that's burning, but not consumed. There was a bush that was burning that was not consumed. That we equate that bush that's burning right now is that burning of the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you and I, that is burning but not consumed. Amen. That's what that fire is. It's always burning. It's constantly burning up those things that God don't cause of us. Those things that we bring on. Those things that we find ourselves into. So it's constantly burning, but it's not consumed. So now that fire that you and I walk in, that's when he talks about in Matthew, that light that's on a hill that cannot be here. This is why I tell people that you can share God and you never lose anything. You can share God and never lose anything. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. If you take a candle, if you take a flame, what do? You share it with somebody else. You light somebody else's flame, and then what you see from your own flame is that your flame doesn't get any smaller. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Your flame doesn't get smaller. In fact, it stays intact. So this is why I'm telling you all today that you ought to share the gospel. You ought to go and tell somebody else what and compel them to come, because you sharing with somebody else does not diminish you. You sharing with somebody else does not bring you down. You sharing with somebody else does not make you smaller. In fact, what it does, it gives life to somebody else. It gives life, that same life, because somebody lit your candle. Oh, come on, somebody. It was somebody who preached the word that lit the fuse inside of you. It was somebody who preached you out of muck and mire and clay. It was somebody who helped stay your hand when you was going to be lost and when your life was gone and you didn't realize where you was going and what you was going to be into. But it was somebody who prayed for you, that had you on their mind. They took the time to pray for you. I'm here to tell you today that it's our job as brothers and sisters that we reimagine God into space as we work inside of governmental structures. So then we find we go through the last 2 weeks before that, we went through the 10 plagues of Egypt. And we talked about how each one of these plagues was a plague towards transformation. Woo! And it was powerful. It was a plague towards transformation in that God was transforming things. He was moving things. Things were changing. Things were moving. Are y'all with me? And each one of those plagues had a significance in how they move things forward. So God was allowing these plagues to come on through Moses, through Aaron being the mouthpiece of Moses, that he was allowing these things to come through on the earth to just change the heart of Pharaoh. All he wanted to do is let the people go. But Pharaoh's heart continued to get hardened, and he continued to be hardened and more hardened. And then to a point that God eventually broke him. Oh, come on. Do you not know there's some things in this life that can come upon you and I to the point that it breaks us? That it'll come upon us in this life and to the point that it breaks us. You know, none of us are above reproach. None of us are so great and so wonderful and so mighty that things do not come to break us down. Come to break us down. Amen. So this is what we find here. So now we go through this. So now where we are, fast forward to where we are on today. Today, I want to talk to you about another character. I tell you all, the Bible's full of characters working where? In governmental structures. Because this is where the powers that be. The Bible says it like this in Ephesians. He said that That we fight against spiritual wickedness where? In high places. Mm-hmm. High places. Flesh and blood, I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting my brother and sister whom I can see, but there's a spirit or a principality that's assigned to people and assigned to regions and assigned to countries. Oh, come on, somebody. That this is what we war against. So I see that flesh and blood in front of me. They may be dwelling in them, but I'm not fighting them. But I'm fighting that one that's above them. And see, if we remember this when we're working with people, we remember this when we're talking to people, I do believe that we'll treat each other better. Amen. I believe that we would take care of each other, that we would look at each other a little differently. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My computer is running really slow today. But like I said, I do got I think several things going on here. Amen. Thank God for technology. Just praying that it do what it's supposed to do. Amen. And I'm trying to get here so I can switch over to the Bible verse that I want to go to. So today I want to talk to you. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to switch that over like I normally would. It's just running slow. Amen. But I want to talk to you today from this subject, if we will, if I can get it to come up here. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you from the subject on today, calculated risks. Calculated risks. Say it with me. Calculated risks. Put it in the chat. Type it. Calculated risks. All right. So today I'm probably not going to be able to switch over to the Bible. I don't want to take that risk of dropping the broadcast because right now my computer resources are really being chewed up pretty good right now. So we're going to leave well enough alone. Amen. Amen. This is what happens when you have lots of video and lots of things planned. But nonetheless, we're going to go for it. All right. So we'll just work from this space. And this is good. So you all can see. If you would turn with me to the book of Daniel. Y'all know we couldn't leave here and not here. Daniel working in the government. Governmental structures. Daniel, we're going to go to Daniel, the first chapter and verse 8. The book of Daniel, first chapter, verse 8. Daniel, again, is one of those, what? The extraordinary individuals. Extraordinary individual. What do you mean by extraordinary? God just used him in some miraculous ways, and we're going to explore. And in particular, what we're going to do is what we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this text, calculated risk. All right, so let's talk about what does it mean to be, you know, calculated. You know, me being a professor by trade, you know, and a researcher, one of the things that we do and we often have to do that we tell people is that first I have to be able to tell you and I have to lay the foundation from which I'm talking from so that you'll be able to follow because your definition may not be my definition. But if we are clear on the definition that we're using for this topic, whether you agree with me or not, then you're able to follow the line of thought, the line of reasoning, the line of argument as I lay this out to you on this morning. All right, so we're talking about a calculated risk. What are we looking at a calculated risk? What we're inferring here is to calculate. Calculate simply means to what? To measure. To measure. Calculation is a measure. To calculate here, we're talking about a measurement. So if you're going to calculate something, then what are you doing? You're taking it into consideration. You are measuring the thing. You are looking at all the various pieces of it and trying to figure out how does this come together. Now, y'all know, many of you all who know me personally know that I'm in insurance, and I've been in insurance for a number of years, and God has blessed me tremendously in that space. And one of the things that I learned about insurance is that insurance was all about calculating risk. Calculating risk. So what is risk? Risk is simply what? A measurement. Again, now we talk about calculation is what? Is a measurement, and that's a thoughtful measurement that we evaluate, that we think about. But then we talk about a risk. Risk is what? A measurement of what? Unfavorable outcomes. See, if the outcome comes out the way that I want it to be, then it wouldn't be a risk, would it? I don't know about you, but I think about things and decisions that I have to make and things that we do that you and I make these decisions all the time. You know, when you're on the road and you're looking to see if any traffic or you're looking to switch lanes on your car or whatever the case may do, there's risks that are involved every time we start driving. There's risks that are involved every time we're on the road. Why? Because there's a risk that you may not come back home. And if that mean that you're a bad driver, it could mean that what? There's someone else who wasn't paying attention. There could be a malfunction with your automobile. Oh, it's just so many risks that we have all the time that we don't even consider. I remember a couple of years ago, there used to be this show called 1,000 Ways to Die. And literally, if you think about how we as human beings walk around this earth and live, it is an absolute miracle that we're alive every single moment that we're alive. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? Share this right now. If you have not shared this, hit the share button. Let somebody else be blessed today. It's not going to cost you anything. It's free. So when we think about it, You know, I think about this morning as I was out running and doing my job. You know, we have, you know, we count out in the country, and there's, you know, we hear that they tell us to be on warning for coyotes. We have coyotes running around in this area right now. And as I was running, you know, there's people who drive up and down the highway, you know, they may not be paying attention. And, you know, my heart's beating and, you know, I'm breathing in air and, you know, there's fertilizer on the ground. There's rain on the road. There's so many different things that could have happened to me on that brief run this morning while I was trying to exercise my body so that I can live a little longer, I could be a little bit more functional and all these things. I was putting myself at risk every moment of that. You are putting yourself at risk every moment that even living in your house, what says that your house would not collapse? Oh, come on, somebody. Look, it's a lot of faith that we put into our buildings, into our structures, into all these different things. You think about it, when you're driving a car, you are actually driving an exploding. Oh, come on. Come on. Are y'all with me? Cars are made up of what this thing is called combustion. So it's actually what? Many explosions happening at all times. You are literally driving a fuel bomb. For those who don't know how cars work, you put that gasoline in there. There's this thing called a spark plug, and that spark plug gives a spark. And that spark, when it touches that fuel combusts. Combustion happens. And that's what is combustion? A small explosion. Boom. And that boom gives off energy. And that energy does what? It forces up the piston, which is in your car. And that piston forces up another rod. And it forces down a piston on the other side of that engine. And what that does is it's turning this thing called an axle. Come on, I know y'all wouldn't think y'all were going to get a car description this morning. But it turns an axle. And then that axle turns a gear. And that gear is set to your transmission. And this is how your car moves forward. And the quicker that this combustion situation happens, this is why when you press your accelerator, what you're telling the car is, give me more gas. And if there's more gas, then there's more fire. And then when there's more fire, then there's more combustion. When there's more combustion, there's more what? Chamber movement. And it moves faster. And to the point it does like, boom, 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 boom. And this is why your car takes off, because that now it's spinning that axle at a rate of revolution. This is why you see the thing in your car called RPM. RPM, that stands for revolutions per minute. And now that tells you how fast that axle is moving in your car. Oh, come on, somebody. We're talking about risk this morning. We're talking about risk. So you're taking some risk every time you get in your car. So calculated risk. So there's some risk here that must be managed that's being calculated here. And let's read a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit. We're going one through Daniel, the first chapter, verse 8, 1 through 21 is the story, but I'm not going to be able to go through all of that. But I want you to have this so you can go back and read it yourself when you have opportunity to. So here we find, we're going to start out right here on this verse here. I'm going to start out on Daniel 1 and 8, and it says this. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king who have appointed me your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face worse looking than the children which are of your sorts? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then verse 11, Daniel said, then said Daniel to Messar, who the prince of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishallah and Azira, prove thou servants, I'm going to get better with that name because they changed them, prove that thou servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and thou countenance of the children that did eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thou servant. So he can send it to them in this matter and prove them 10 days. And then at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the king's portion of the meat. Thus Messiah took away the portion of the meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for the children, the four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel understanding and visions and dreams. And now at the end of the days that the king has said he shall bring them in, that being the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. And the king communed with them and among them, and was all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers, and they were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord Jesus. I ask that you give me the words to say, Lord Jesus. Let me explain this to your people, Lord. Let me preach this to your people, God. Let this word be engrafted in their hearts as we go forward in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I apologize. I just told you all a story because I told you I wasn't going to read that whole thing, but it got good to me, so I couldn't stop it. All right, so let's talk about Daniel. We're talking about calculated risk here. Amen. Calculated risk. So here we find, let me give you some background. What we have here is Daniel. Daniel is living in captivity. Daniel's living in captivity. In fact, he's living in the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon under what? The king of Nebuchadnezzar. So what? The kingdom of God here, the Judah, they were captured. And they were captured. And here they had what? When they captured, they took these people as servants. And here was what they called four young boys, Daniel being among them. And what you find is if you go back to the verses before this, these four boys are people that you probably heard of before. You have Daniel. His name was changed to Belshazzar. What they did is when they brought you, they changed your name. They changed his name to Belshazzar. Mm-hmm. So this is what? Him going into almost like a slavery situation. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody ought to be able to connect with this. When they brought African-Americans to this country, what did? They changed their name in many instances. Oh, come on. I'm not going to go there today. But changed their name. They took things away from them and what? Tried to make them and what? To assimilate them to what? Where they are. Here, watch this. So now his name is changed from Daniel to Belshazzar. Then what? His friend Hananiah was changed to what? Shadrach. Oh, come on, somebody. I've heard these names before. Michelle, his name was changed to Meshach, and Azariah was changed to Abednego. So these are where you hear the names Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, I know y'all heard those names before, right? So you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know this, but now you know that their names were not that before. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are actually the Babylon names that they were given. Oh, come on, somebody. You know when the devil tries to get you, when he tries to take you over, he tries what? The first thing he tries to do is what? Change your name. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but your name is important. You know, your name is important. It was a reason why they gave Jesus his name. Oh, I can't even get back in my notes here. All right. There was a reason that they gave Jesus his name. So one of the things, if I have note takers who take some notes today, I got three important points I want to trust you with today that I want to impress on you today. Number one is Daniel is living in captivity. So number one, the thing is I want you to walk is that name change. When you're working in governmental structures, there's some calculated risk in this. What do you mean calculated risk? Number one, the first thing they're going to want to do is they're going to want to change who you are. And they do that by what? Here, by what? Changing their names. Daniel's name is changed from Daniel to Belshazzar. Oh, come on, somebody. They changed his name from Daniel to Belshazzar. What they gave him a Babylon name. What they wanted to do is label him as one of them. Are y'all with me? They want to label him as one of them. You all, some of us have been in workspaces or in workplaces and things. And the first thing they try to do is try to get you a part of a group. Oh, come on, somebody. And I'm speaking the truth this morning. They try to make you a part of this group and part of this subgroup. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, be careful of the groupings. Why? This is them trying to what? Lay side with you. This is them trying to, you know, to say, okay, this is a new person into the job. This is a new person into the space. We want them to agree with us. We want them to be able to think like us. We want them to be able to be part of our clique or part of our little group. Be careful who you align yourself with. So the first thing they did here is what? Change his name. I don't know about you, but my name is Peter. My first name is Peter. Peter means what? Facility of faith, rock. Mm-hmm. And it's important that I have that name. Why? Because I live up to my name. My wife's name is Felicia. Her name means happy. My wife is a very happy woman. Most of the time, if I'm not on her nerves, right? But she's a very happy woman. My son is named Preston, son of a priest. So your name means something. It's not by circumstance you got the name you got. God knew what name you were going to get before you even got it. I know some of you think, well, my parents came up with this and they came up with that. He had a plan and all this. What his God always has a plan. So what do they do? So the first thing they do is what? Try to change their name. So here, what Daniel now is going from Daniel to Belshazzar. And then you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All what? Babylon names. They take your name. In taking a name, why is a name important? Because people identify with their name. You identify with your name. Is there some risk involved? Yes, but I'm here to tell you that the risks are calculated. So yes, they're going to try to transform you. Yes, they're going to try to make you one of them. But the Bible tells us to be in the world, but not of the world. So it doesn't mean that you don't go into these spaces. It doesn't mean that you don't go into these places and compel them to come. It doesn't mean that you be the very best that you can be wherever God's called you to be. It's just that you don't take the name change. And that's going to be some risk involved because you don't know how they're going to react to that. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't know what they're going to say about that. You don't know how they're going to feel about that. And you don't know if that's going to cause you to be, you know, profitable in the space or you're going to get pushed back in the space. But I'm here to tell you today to remind you that what the Bible tells us, that promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, the north, and the south, but promotion comes from God. So if you're going to be promoted, if you're going to be great in the space, if you're going to have what they call their Midas touch, it's because of him anyway. Because he's able, what, to make you great. Even in the midst of all this. Because if you go on a little bit longer, you find out that Daniel get this thing that Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. That's the most famous story that most people know about Daniel, is that they talk about Daniel being in the lion's den and how God delivered him out of the lion's den, but you don't even know how he got there. Why? Because he refused to compromise in the space. Because you notice here, this is the only time you're really going to see him called, being called Belshazzar. We call him Daniel throughout the rest of the book. But everybody else is being called what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Throughout the rest of the book. That's why you didn't typically know their names to begin with. Are y'all with me? All right. So what we find here, what these children of Judah, now what? They're in the space. They try to change their name. Daniel refuses. Daniel had enough of him to refuse. But what's the second thing that they do to you when you're in this space? When you're walking into this space, remember you're taking a calculated risk because you know that you're here, is that they take away freedom. Take away freedom. See, when you're in these spaces sometimes, brothers and sisters, sometimes there are some restraints. There are some things that I can't do. There are some things that I'm not allowed to say. There are some things that I can't move in the way I want to move in. There are some things that I can't express the way that I want to express. There's some things I just cannot talk about the way I want to talk about, because there are some restraints in the space. And I have to take myself and say, okay, is the risk worth this? Because there's so much uncertainty there. How much uncertainty is in this space? I'm uncertain about this. I'm calculating the risk. The risk, what? To be in the governmental structure to cause change. Because he called me to be the head and not the tail. He called me to be above and not beneath. He called me above, be winner and conqueror through Christ Jesus, who what? Strengthens me. So this is where I rely on my faith, because sometimes, I don't know about you, in my faith, I'm uncertain about some things. There's some things that Peter's uncertain about right now. There's some things I'm praying about right now. There's some things in my life that could change and go forward. It could be great. It could be this. And I'm uncertain. But what? I walk by faith and not by sight. You know, as I preach this to you this morning, as I preach this to you this morning, I'm also preaching to myself, because sometimes David said, well, I have to encourage myself in the Lord. So I'm here to tell you that as we walk into government instruction, know that you're going into a calculated, uncertain, risky space. But you know what? God has got your back. As I show you this in this story of Daniel. Because one of the things you know about Daniel, even though Daniel was in this space, that God had given him what? Favor. Come on, somebody. Some of you have favor. What is favor? Favor simply means access. Favor doesn't mean they're just going to do a bunch of stuff for you. No, it's about access. Access to things. So here, Daniel has what? Favor with the eunuch. The eunuch here being the prince. What is the eunuch worried about? The eunuch is not so much worried about Daniel's request not to eat the meat. He's worried about the king, because Nebuchadnezzar is an evil dude. Nebuchadnezzar, well, he noticed here, when you read that, he said that he's worried about the king having his head. And that what? If they bring Daniel back and Daniel and them look like they are anorexic, right? If they looking sick, if they looking like they're malnourished, then the king is going to have a problem with him. Why? Because the king wanted these boys. Because the king, what? He has some plans for these guys. So what is happening here is that what? They're supposed to be feeding them meat. And Daniel refuses the king's meat. Why does Daniel refuse the king's meat? Now, if you notice here, the king's meat, this is not that it was a sorcery. It wasn't that they was cast spell. It wasn't that it was halal and had all these things prayed over and all this stuff. Y'all watch for that halal meat. If y'all see it say halal, stay away from it. If you don't understand it yet, I don't have time to teach it today, but go Google it. H-A-A-L. Stay away. You don't want that stuff. I don't care how good it smells. Stay away. You've been warned. Anyway, all right, so as we go forward here, Daniel refuses the king's meat. So why is he refusing the king's meat? The king's meat is actually a delicacy. It's like eating Wagyu. I don't know about you. What y'all know about that Wagyu? That Wagyu steak. That's that 1% steak in the world. That's that Kobe steak. That's that $32 an ounce steak. That's what they eat. They're getting Wagyu. Mm-hmm. Go look that up. You don't hear that? I kid you not, $32 an ounce. Some of the best steak I had the pleasure of eating a little bit one time. I promise you, you never had anything like it. But anyway, it's good to have fun. All right, so they have access to Wagyu. They eat caviar and lobster and all this stuff. That means they got the best of the best. But they refuse it. Why does he refuse it? Because if he eats the king's meat, he said he would defile himself. How will he defile himself? Because Nebuchadnezzar, because they already knew kind of character Nebuchadnezzar was. If he eats the king's meat, Nebuchadnezzar would give himself credit for sustaining life. Did you catch that? Nebuchadnezzar would give himself, because Nebuchadnezzar already saw himself as a god. Mm-hmm. Little G god, but he saw himself as a god. And in fact, he probably was a god to those people. So what does he do? He doesn't eat the meat. Why? Because if they eating of the king's table, then it's the king that's going to say that he's sustaining them, that they look as good as they look, that they can do the things they can do. Why? Because I've been taking care of them. I've been feeding them. I have been supplying their needs. When the Bible tells us that, he should what? Supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. This is why we don't have to get caught up in this, because we're working in a calculated space. We're taking calculated risks here. And when we take these calculated risks, what we have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that you don't have to take the king's meat, because you are there because he's allowed you to be there. You are there because he wants you in this space. You are there to do a work. You are there to stand out. You are there to be the head and not the tail. You are there to be above and not beneath. You are there to be the prayer warrior. You are there to stand out. You are there to change the atmosphere. You are there so that that bush that's burning inside of you is not consumed, but it continues to burn, that people's lives are sustained because you are in the space. You are there to pray for somebody's sick child. You are there to change that atheist mind. You are there in that space because God has called you there to be strong and be bold in the space. It's not because the king is there to substantiate you. Why you didn't think you got laid off? Because you were the best worker? Because you were great? Because you came to work on time? You're there because God is using you. And it's through you that he's allowing others to see your glory. They've seen his glory through you. They wonder, how can you go through this and you still sustain? They ask me all the time, Peter, how can you drive 200 miles to go to work a day and been doing it for a number of years and still produce at this level. And we got people who drive 10 miles who can't do nothing. It's not me, but God's grace and his mercy. It's not you. It's his grace and his mercy upon you that sustain you. You think you're good because you're good? How you think you got what you got? How you think you got the skill set you got? God just downloads this stuff for you and you're able to spread it off the top of your head. Oh, you're so smart. No, you're not. Lose God and find out how much you are. Walk away from God and find out. We're all servants in this space 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm always on call. You're always on call. This is what we're called to do. And because of that, he sustains us. He undergirds us. And this is why when I'm walking by faith and not by sight and I don't see it and I don't understand, I take a step and I say, Lord, I don't know. And there he is. Lord, I don't know about this. There he is. I am calculating the risk. But you know what I find out? In all my calculation, that what? God takes the uncertainty out of the situation. So I'm here to tell you that, yes, it's calculated risk, but when you're with God, he takes away this thing called risk. You're just in a calculated space. There's no risk in God. He's certain. His blessings are yes and amen. Mm-hmm. His face is certain because if he puts you there and you follow his will, he's not going to let you fall. Think about all the times that you should have probably been out of that job. Think about all the times you should have been out of that space. Why you and not somebody else? I work with some brilliant people. I work with people who are so smart, it's ridiculous. But I got picked over them. Why? Because I'm in there for kingdom work. It's called marketplace ministry. Oh, I miss the job all the time. There's ways to do it. Y'all got me working hard in here today. It's all right. There's ways to do it. Marketplace ministry. Because there's somebody who has a sick child. You know what? They know Dr. Emily's phone number then. Mm-hmm. There's someone who has a sick relative. They know how to get in contact with me then. People know. Don't you be fooled. People know. This is why you didn't never fit in the parties. This is why you never fat in that space. They knew you were different. That's why you came off as that. Because they already know. In fact, what I find is sometimes they protect me better than I protect me. They know things sometimes before you know them. And they'll come and tell you, nope, you're not going here. Oh, no, you don't need to know that. Don't worry about that. You didn't hear that. I remember as a young boy, there were some things that I wanted to get into because I wanted to be cool with everybody else. I wanted to do what everybody else was doing. And you know what? They protected me. They ain't let me get into some of the things they were doing. No, you can't come over here and do this, man. No, man, you got a future. Oh, come on. Some of y'all have heard that before. Oh, man, you smart, man. No, man, you're a church boy, man. Man, your granddaddy kill you, man. We can't have you out here doing this, man. God used them to protect me from myself. And I'm here to tell you, he'll use them to protect you from yourself, too. If you follow his will and realize that you're in the space not because of you, but because of the work he's called you to do in that space. Let's go on. So I gave you two things. So number one, they take your name. Number two, they take your freedom. Number three, they ask you to assimilate. What is assimilation? That you integrate into space. See, when you something is started to assimilate, what happens is that assimilation becomes seamless. You cannot tell the good from the bad. Come on, somebody. You cannot tell the good from the bad. Why? Because now it becomes seamless. I don't know if this is it or if that's it. Assimilation. We are not called to assimilate, but we're called to be a peculiar people that we stand out in the space, not assimilate in the space. Why? Because then when they need different or they want different, they know where to find it. See, you can't be salt and light if you like everybody else. You can't be great in that space. You can't be calling that space if you like everybody else. I know it hurts sometimes to stand out. I know it hurts sometimes to feel like you ostracized. I've been ostracized in this very space we in right now. There are people who would never let me teach or preach in their church because it's just way too real. And I've never done anything. Check the track record. I am who I am. But I ain't going to put up with that mess. Because I'm God's man. I'm not going to be bought. No, I don't sing well, but I know this word and I can teach my butt off. That's what I do. No, I'm not going to be able to come in there and entertain you. I'm not going to be able to shuck and jive with you and split offerings and all this crap with you. No, we don't do that here. God gave me a great job, and I'm grateful. I love the work. It doesn't get tired sometimes being pastor and the worker? Absolutely. It gets downright hard sometimes. However, I asked God myself, I said, Lord, keep me in this space as long as I can. Why? Because it allows me to be able to say and not have to worry about things. Because when you bought, You're bought with a price. And don't be fooled. Every man or woman, for that fact, you have a price. And I do too. As I tell people all the time, I just hope you never meet my price. Because the truth of the matter is, I don't know what I would do. I know what I'll tell you I ain't gonna do. I know how I'm gonna sit up here and I'm gonna proclaim boldly, hey, I'm not gonna do this. I'm ever not gonna ever do that. Because Peter in the Bible did the same thing, didn't he? Oh, Jesus. And Jesus told him, he said, boy, you're gonna deny me three times for that crow, for that chicken crop once. That's what the Bible said, right? And what Peter said, oh no, I'm never gonna deny you, Lord. I go to death for you, Lord. This, this, and that. And what was Peter over there doing? Hey, he wasn't the ones with the disciples. No, you ain't talking about me. Denied him. Three times. Almost to the fact that Peter was so upset with himself for denying Christ and didn't realize what he did, he almost wanted to commit suicide, which would have been even worse. So don't think yourself higher than you are. This stuff here, flesh. This stuff is prone to make mistakes. And this is why it's important that we pray. This is important why we fast. This is why it's important that we connect with one another. Why? So that we can be held accountable to one another. Because I can mess up. You can mess up. And if we live long enough, we all mess up. Think about it. Would you want the thing that you did put on the front page of the news? Because see, I know sometimes people get so judgmental. I know we got a lot of different things going on. When people get really judgmental, but I'm like, okay, you put your worst thing that you ever done and put it on the front. It's going to post it on Twitter and let it trend for a couple of days. Let's see how you feel about that. I'm not justifying anything. I'm just saying, let's see where that shoe fit. So see how that shoe feels when it's on your foot and it fits just right. So here we said, so the assimilation, we're not there to assimilate. We are there to what? To be salt and light. Calculated risk. Calculated risk. So why does Daniel not accept the king's food? The defilers here, why? Because the king would have thought he did it. He was just that arrogant. And Daniel knew this. So what did God do? So Daniel, what? He went without the king's meat. The pulse. What is pulse? As they talk about in the Bible, pulse is just vegetables. In fact, anything that can be grown from a seed. So the king could not take what? He could not take credit from something that grew from a seed. Why? Because it came from the earth. Which meant that what? It came from the ground. Which meant that what? God had to give it. Do y'all see what I'm saying here? So therefore, they ate what? Pulse. Pulse being vegetables. For the most part. If it grew from the ground, they could eat it. Mushrooms. So I like to think Daniel and them, though, you know, even though they were still in that space, now they ain't good now. So they had some of the best vegetables. They had some shiitake mushrooms, probably. They had a little bit of, you know, maybe some tofu. I don't know. Some grape soybeans. And what happened at the end of this, the unit comes in and he measures them. He just gave them a test. Remember, in fact, this was an experiment. Because the unit was worried about, he's like, boy, if this don't work, you're going to have my head. So, in fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to experiment with you. I'm going to give you 10 days to see how this works. And the Bible said in 10 days, when they came back, the guys that ate the king's meat, they were eating the Wagyu and they were eating the best of the salmon and the halibut and all this kind of stuff, that high-end fish and turkey and chicken. And then you had Daniel and them just eating high-end vegetables. And in fact, they said that what? Not only were they look better, their skins were better, they looked stronger, they were fatter. Do you not know when you serve a king, even though it seems like sometimes that you sacrifice and these things happen and it seems like you're giving away, but in fact, what you look like to the world, that you look fatter? Oh, come on, somebody. See, I know some people have a problem with tithes and offering, and I've been a tither my whole life. So sometimes people come, and every now and then I get somebody who come at me a little sideways about some things. And I said, if you tithe like I've tithe, if you're giving like I've given, then you can have some of the things that I have. That's the truth of the matter. Those are facts. Everywhere I've been, last church we was at before God called us out to start our own church, they'll tell you not one time they even miss a tithe. There have been times I've tithe and I ain't had nothing. I mean, I didn't have a job. I tied one time off a credit card. I really did. And I'm not encouraging that, but I did. Because I knew the blessings of God. And God, what? He blessed me my entire life. Has everything been perfect? No. Have I had my share of trials? Yes. But I know some look back and say, ooh, he got this and he got that. I'm trying to tell you, that came from some test of trying. There was some trials in that. There was some test in that. And God took that 90 and he multiplied that 90. Or he showed you how to take advantage of that 90. Or he gave me a great wife who knew how to find great deals so I can still wear the best of the best and can get them at a discount price. Oh, come on, somebody. Or God put people in your life who want to bless you, who want to buy you things and take you places and stuff. I'm telling you from experience. This is how Daniel is. This is the favor that's on Daniel's life. Because watch this. What is the God gave him? Daniel favor with him. And what does the Bible say he do? After they were spattered and all this stuff, he gave them wisdom. So these things I'm just telling you about, that's in wisdom. It's wisdom how to shop better. It's wisdom. Mm-hmm. You can have these things. God, I don't want you not to have these things if that's what you desire. It's just that what? You cannot allow the things to have you. You cannot put more time into getting those things than you can what? Serving the kingdom. And that's what some of us get it twisted. It's like we get this car and now you got to work on Sunday and on Wednesday night and on every time that the church was open that you can go in there and serve. And now you're so tired because you're working so much, you won't get up and you won't pray. Oh, come on. Yeah, I'm in pastor mode today. And you won't get up and you won't pray. And then you wonder why you have a hard time. Priorities. First things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not the other way around. Go get what you want first, and then maybe God will give you the rest. No. He has an order. And this order matters. Mm-hmm. Let me get off that. Amen. So, what do we find here? He gives them wisdom. Why is the wisdom he gives them important? Why? Because garbage in means garbage out. This is why you want God downloading to you. We know we have this thing in computers, and y'all know I work with computers, that if you put bad data in it, it's going to give you bad data out. It only can give you what you put in it. Right? So the Bible says it like this. It said, it ain't what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out. So what? Because what? You have the Holy Ghost inside of you that cleanses that stuff. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost in there inside of you, they can filter the things that come out of your mouth. It's going to defile you. It's going to be nasty. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. Because what? We all think things we shouldn't think. It's part of life. Even Jesus was tempted. The devil told him, turn that stone to bread. I guarantee you, Jesus thought about it, but then he remembered. Mm-mm. Man should not live by bread alone, but every word that come out of the mouth of the Lord. He took him up to a mount. Mm-hmm. This is all in line with Palm Sunday. He took him up to a mount. He told him, see, you see all this kingdom? You can have all that. And he said, but just jump off the cliff. He said, that should not what? Tempt the Lord thy God. Are y'all with me this morning? So these are things that he's reminding us that what? So garbage in, garbage out. You can't be sitting here watching junk all week and then expect God to use you. And God to anoint you. Why? Because his spirit cannot live in that junky house you got. Pastor, how do I fix that? Repent. Turn away. Ask God to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is there what to comfort us. Is there to keep us. But you can still do what you want to do. It's called free will. You don't have to listen to him. And we all struggle in this space. I do too. I'm not holier than thou. I have my days. I don't want to listen to the Holy Ghost either. Truth of the matter is we all do. And this is why we need each other to survive. So when I am weak, maybe you are strong. And where I'm struggling at today, maybe you're not struggling today. So therefore, we can undergird one another and we can walk in this space together. So as I said, as I wrap up today, we find that what? Now Daniel and these guys are what they brought before King Nebuchadnezzar. And they chilling. They his guys. They are better than those witch doctors, those astrologers, witches, witchcraft. Mm-hmm. They reading stuff out of the stars and all that stuff. Y'all be careful that. That's witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Also, what it's called? Also called? A la carte? I can't remember. I'm messing it up. OCCULT, something like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Stay away from that stuff. That stuff is not of God. The magicians. Because this is what Nebuchadnezzar had. But God, what, brings Daniel into the space, and Daniel, what, he shuts them all down. And God gives you his wisdom, and he imparts, takes his authority on you. You don't need that stuff, because he's going to give it to you. You need that stuff when what? When you start moving on in your own path. When you start moving in your own way, that's when you start thinking that you're going to do it, and then you got to eat the king's meat to sustain it. Why? Because you're not being undergirded by the power of God. So as I close today, the calculated risk, I'm here to tell you that there is no calculated risk when you're serving God. Why? Because there's no uncertainty. See, when we look at risk, risk means what? Uncertain. But when you're serving God, there's no uncertainty. There's a certain end. He said in Jeremiah that his plans are what? To bless us and give us good success. That we're going to be great in the space. That you're going to be great in the space. That He's going to anoint your hands and they're going to be prosperous to grow. That whatever you touch is going to grow. But it starts with what? You being connected and you staying with Him. So as I end today, I want you to walk away with these three things. What did they do? When you go into the space, watch it. They're going to try to take your freedom. Number two, they want to change your name. They want you to be one of them. And number three, they want you to assimilate. Why? So that there would be no delineation between you and them. So when they do something dumb, they can say that you was a part of it too. But I'm here to tell you, today, brothers and sisters, be steadfast. Keep that faith separate. Mm-hmm. Be in the world, but not of the world. Mm-hmm. Keep your name. Know who you are. Mm-hmm. And then what? Walk in the freedom or at the liberty of the Spirit. That he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Calculate the risk. In conclusion, there is no risk if you are following God. He will provide. God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that this message has been a tremendous blessing to someone here in this space on today. Maybe you're thinking, hey, Pastor, you know what? I heard you today, and I want to be saved. I want to change my life. There's some things here that it's time. I'm here to tell you today. You can go right now and ask God for forgiveness. Just ask Him, say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins, those sins that are known and unknown to me. And be sincere about that. Ask Him to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Yes, you were speaking an unknown tongue. I believe you at least do it one time in your life. I ain't got to be there to hear, but you know this is what a confession of your faith. Mm-hmm. And He'll fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, you know, the Holy Ghost, I ain't got to hear you, but I can watch the fruit that you produce. Because the Bible said, well, we will know them by what? The fruit that they produce. So if you produce hatred and you produce uneasiness and all this stuff, then you can't be of Him. Simple as that. Right? But if you're producing love and kindness and peace, mm-hmm, and long-suffering, then you can be. And then what? If you've not been baptized, get baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. Why Jesus? Jesus is the master teacher. Jesus is the name that has power, has authority to forgive all sin. Mm-hmm. And then connect with a good Bible teaching church. Connect with a good ministry. You know, we would love to have you here at the Safe House, but if you don't want to go, if this is not your cup of tea, I get it, and that's okay. I know we can be an acquired space sometimes. We are very specific, you know, to certain people or whatever the case may be, and that's fine. It's not our intention, but this is where God has us, and we get it. You draw who you draw. Because at the end of the day, the Bible said, if I be lifted up from the earth, that I should draw all men unto me. So it's not about me anyway. But wherever God was seeing you, I just want to see you saved. I want to see you living God's best life and that which He has for you. And that what you can be, you can be in the space and not of the space and know that He has your back. God bless you all. I love you all. At this time, I'll give you the opportunity to bless God in tithe and offering as we move into that space. Amen. Let me see if I can get my screen to come up. You know, I'm kind of leery here. This has definitely been a lesson here on today. Here at the Safe House Church, we do the Cash App. Cash App, you can do us at Safe House Church GSO. And Safe House Church GSO, you should see that little purple SH there. That's how you know you got the right one. Also, you can find us at paypal.me/ministry aid. That's paypal.me/ministry aid. Or you can also get us at P.O. Box, it's at P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. That's for a check or a money order. That's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Everything that comes in here goes to support this ministry here at the Safe House Church. And we're grateful for that. Amen. Amen. So we ask that this is an opportunity for you to plant a seed. If this word was a blessing to you on today, this is an opportunity for you to be able to plant a seed in that space and be a blessing to this church and to this congregation. Amen. Amen. As we switch on back here, let me see if I can get this thing to switch on back here. Like I said, it's been moving kind of slow today, but I know I got a lot of stuff going on here. Let me get that switch on back. All right. So hope all is well. I hope that this word has hit you right where God has you, and that you have learned something here on today. I'm just so grateful to be continuing to serve in this space. God has just been so good to me, and I know he's been good to you. I ask on next week, hey, if you join us on prayer. We pray every morning at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. Amen. We're only there for 30 minutes. Come in, and we take prayer requests. Amen. And they're in that space, and it's just a good time. God has been blessing us in that space. I don't know about you, the rest of you all, but I've been blessed. I mean, it's optional. We don't force or turn anybody's hand, but if you want to be there and be blessed, amen, we ask that you come on in. We have opportunity. We put the different various prayer requests there in the chat box and individuals chat. Pray for those as we go forward. Amen. Then on Monday nights, remember, we have the women's space. They have the women at the Well space. Make sure I show that again. The women at the Well space will be there. They meet every Monday night at 7 p.m. Again, it's a private space for women only, So go to www.safehousechurchgso.com/women. Then we have the men's locker room, where it's a private space just for men. Amen. So we do require registration for these spaces. This is just so that the space will be private, and then you'll get the link to that space. And the link stays the same throughout the week. So we do not do a lot of like switching around the links and that kind of thing. So you should be good to go once you have that link. Amen. So with that being said, see if the computer's moving a little bit faster today. Right now, we're going to end this. So I hope that this has been an amazing day to you. Next week is Easter Sunday. It was my sincere hope and intention that we would be back in our church. But I just, as we pray, I don't believe God has dropped on my heart for us to go back yet. So I know some of y'all may be disappointed. I know some of y'all probably cheering. Yay. But nonetheless, we're going to continue in this space. But next week is Easter Sunday. Amen, from my understanding. So we're going to walk therefore in, and we're going to celebrate that which God has done. Amen. As we see Jesus on the cross. But the cross is a sign of death. It actually means death. So I know a lot of people, they celebrate the cross, but do you celebrate that death? Because it was a horrible death. But I'm grateful that he died for us, that we may have the life, the right to the tree of life. So all is well. On Wednesday, we'll be at 7 o'clock. Same time where you're seeing us right now, you can get on it. 7 o'clock on Wednesday. We are going through the book of Acts. We just started Acts. We're in Acts chapter 1, and we're moving fastly. We get to this point where now they're on one accord in the day of Pentecost. If you are apostolic and you're the apostolic faith, this is where you can find out all our faith starts. Pentecost starting us here. All these different denominations kind of grow out of this area from other and various interpretations. And one of the things that's me as being a teacher, what I do is I just lay it out and you make the decision for yourself. Because we work off the context of what? The Bible is the context. We provide the Bible is the content. We provide the context, but it's the Spirit that gives what? The revelation. Not me. I just give what God has given me, and God give you revelation from there. All right? So God bless you all. I love you all. This has been a tremendous day, and I hope that this word was a blessing to you all. You all pray for me as I pray for you, and enjoy your families and enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
About the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide, three words come